The law and order process has historically worked as follows. A person commits a crime, they face trial. If they're convicted, we lock them up and even in some cases sentence them to death. While that certainly seems like it's just in cases like Adil and Roof, there are many instances where incarceration for nonviolent crimes, instead of solving a problem, cultivate a troubled life, which can often result in that person losing their way, losing hope, and even in some cases losing their life. As we've seen here in New Jersey and other places, there are options to prison in some cases, which result in positive outcomes that my next guest with her organization advocates for. She is the co-founder and national director of Cut 50, as well as mayor of Mill Valley, California, Jessica Jackson Sloan. Thank you for being here today, Jessica.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
And to learn more about this issue and the work of Cut 50, it's cut50.org. And just as an overview, what is it that your organization is looking to do? And is it something specifically, like we've seen here in New Jersey, programs for nonviolent offenders? Is it a sentencing reform through the law books? What are some of your priorities?
Well, our priority is to cut the prison population and to make our communities safer. We know that the system we've got now is failing. We've got 2.2 million people behind bars across the country. We spend $80 billion a year on incarcerating people, which is money that could go into preventing crime and actually enforcing more dangerous crimes.
And certainly money that could be spent for intervention and getting ahead of a problem through greater education programs community-wise as well as through schools.
Absolutely. It's all about addressing the underlying issue of the crime. Not everybody commits crime for the same reasons. Some people commit crime because of a lack of opportunity or abject poverty. Some people commit crimes because they suffer from mental illness. Some people are committing crimes because they're addicted to drugs. But yet, for some reason, we have this one-size-fits-all solution to crime, which is take away your liberty and throw you in a cage. Unfortunately, this is not working, and it's actually made our streets more violent and more dangerous. There was recently a article in the Washington Post that showed a direct correlation between lowering the number of people who are incarcerated and actually handling the reason people are committing crimes and violence dropping.
Are sentencing alternatives best for nonviolent criminals only, or are there people convicted of to any degree of violent crime able to be given a better opportunity for recovery or rehabilitation through alternatives?
You know, I got to say, Chris, I believe in the good in everybody. I think that everybody with the right support and right help is capable of transforming their lives and being a productive, contributing member of society, whether you committed a drug crime or if you committed a more violent crime. I think there's a way to help shape people and give them the support they need so that they can go on and live decent lives.
I mentioned in the intro, and we've talked about here earlier on the show, how New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, going back to 2013, but has really placed a foundation now in his State of the State address this past week to come up with alternatives versus incarceration for people who are arrested for a violation of drug laws. Are there ideas similar to that that are working in other states that you know of?
Yes, absolutely. And I got to tell you, we're really excited to see Governor Christie putting such an emphasis on the addiction crisis. I think starting to look at drug crimes as a public health issue is going to be very powerful. This isn't actually the first time that he's even talked about the drug crisis. He actually gave a very powerful speech on opioids during the election and made a real emotional plea for a greater focus on the crisis of drug addiction that he said was destroying families and ripping apart the fabric of New Jersey. And I'm sure, you know, had he been elected president, he would have been focused on this nationally. He comes to this from both a executive standpoint, having to balance the budget of a state and keep track of, you know, keeping the crime down, but also from a personal place, as he had lost a college friend to pills and alcohol. There are other governors who are also making this a priority issue. Governor Cuomo in New York, we've got Bel Edwards in Louisiana, Governor Brown in California, Governor Deal in Georgia. You know, they're all working on this issue and beginning to recognize not only that drug addiction is a public health issue, but also some of them are beginning to recognize that drug criminalization has actually created a lot of the issues that they're wanting to address. So instead of treating it for, you know, as a public health issue, the criminalization of it has also kind of perpetuated the cycle.
With Jessica Jackson Sloan, who is the co-founder and national director of Cut 50. She's also mayor of Mill Valley, California. Cut50.org is where you can learn more about this issue and about their programs, their ideas, and how to bring them into your community, maybe even to some of the ideas into your personal life or those around you if you see someone that is walking that dangerous path and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. As I mentioned, you have three key programs, Justice Reform Now, Clemency Now, and Day of Empathy. Just a brief overview of those three programs.
Absolutely. So the Justice Reform Now is our federal campaign, and we started this 2 years ago with our bipartisan summit in Washington, D.C., which was co-hosted by my boss, Van Jones, as well as Newt Gingrich and Donna Brazile and Pat Nolan from the American Conservative Union. So an unlikely group of people.
Shows you how serious the problem is.
Yeah, no, I was reflecting on that during the election. I have a picture of all of them and Eric Holder, who spoke there, and Tom Perez, and it felt like it had been a different lifetime. But a lot of momentum came out of that summit. We actually were able to get three bills announced there, and then several bipartisan bills were introduced shortly thereafter. One of them, it sounds like, is going to be reintroduced in the new session, and we're hoping to do whatever it takes to get it through and get it signed by President Trump. And then our Clemency Now campaign is really focused on what the president can do, I guess, in the next 6-7 days, which is issuing clemencies to those who deserve it. So the criteria that the Department of Justice laid out, going back to the nonviolent offenders, is that you are eligible for clemency if you are a nonviolent offender and have never had any history of violence anywhere in your record, and you've committed a first-time drug offense, and you've been in prison for at least 10 years. So a lot of the folks we're seeing actually get clemency have been in there much longer than that, 20, 30 years sometimes, for a nonviolent drug offense. So we've been pushing hard that they should go ahead and issue clemencies in these cases, because none of these folks would have gotten the same sentence had they been sentenced today, since the laws have changed, but they were not changed retroactively. And then Day of Empathy is very exciting, and hopefully some of your listeners will be interested and come visit our website at cut50.org. We will be in all 50 state capitals on March 1st talking about the impact that criminal justice system has on communities and families and individuals, and talking to our state legislator about those stories and raising some empathy and really putting a human face to some of these numbers.
For you listening, I want to take the debate and the opinions of whether you believe drug offenders need to be locked up or not, and let's look at this logically for the few seconds that we have left here. Prisons are overcrowded. That's a fact.
Yeah.
That's an absolute fact. So if we could eliminate the prison population of the nonviolent offenders, place them in places where they can take the negative that they're trapped in, escape it, and into a positive, what would that result in? Right. More prison space for the truly violent people who we need to take out of society for whatever amount of time is necessary for hopefully rehabilitation through that side and a proper punishment for whatever crime the violent person commits, and allow the opportunity that many, especially the first-time offenders of nonviolent crimes, give them the opportunity to regain a life that will be a positive part of society. So with that, those facts being undeniable, where can there be any possible objection? So visit the website for Cut 50, which is cut50.org, and learn more about this issue. Remember their Day of Empathy coming up on March 1st, and have a discussion, talk about it, bring this idea to your elected leaders in the state here in New Jersey, if you're listening onto the stream where you are, and make it worth their while for them to at least consider these options, which we see work in many states by governors and representatives of both parties. And why is that happening? Because A, the problem is serious, and B, these solutions do indeed work. Cut50.org. She is the co-founder and national director of Cut 50, mayor of Mill Valley, California, Jessica Jackson Sloan. And Jessica, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Chris.